For the past 15 years, Towers won praise for the music she has created and performed. She's also been honored by the Guggenheim and Koussevitzky Foundations, the National Endowment for the Arts, and the American Academy of Arts and Letters. Towers' symphonic work, Sequoia, will be performed this evening here in Washington by Leonard Slatkin and the National Symphony Orchestra. NPR's Nancy Fuchsin prepared this profile of the composer.
Despite receiving recognition for her chamber music and solo instrumental works, Joan Tower had serious doubts about her ability to create a full symphonic piece. In 1981, she began writing Sequoia, a work about the phenomenon of balance in nature and in music. On the eve of its 1982 premiere in New York, Tower was convinced that Sequoia's themes were in full view.
I told everybody not to come. And much to my surprise, the piece has turned out to be a little more active than I ever imagined it would be.
Sequoia received a lot of attention. A New York Times critic questioned the work's overall originality, but cited Tower's crafty manipulation of sonorities. Another writer described it as a gutsy, lushly orchestrated work with outrageous percussion passages. Zubin Mehta included Sequoia as the sole American selection at the 1982 United Nations Day concert. This season, Sequoia is on several orchestra schedules, and though Tower is satisfied with the score, she does have reservations about the title.
The reason it doesn't work is that the Sequoias I went to see them are very quiet and very majestic and very elegant. My piece is none of those. My piece is very loud, very busy, very active, and the only connection is a bigness.
Tower says the biggest challenge in composing a symphonic work is imagining the sound of an entire orchestra as the piece is being written. That ability she gained from listening to orchestras rehearse and studying all kinds of scores, particularly Beethoven.
He knows the seams and the, what I call balancing action of musical gestures. There's a lot of Beethoven in Sequoia, a lot.
For you, learning to write music meant long hours with performers.
Yes.
In the sense of actually communicating with performers.
Absolutely. That's the other side of it. Music's very much of a human endeavor. To me, it's very important that the people who play my music are involved with it. If they come up to me and say, I'd like to make a change in this part here, it might sound better this way, I think that's a real compliment, that a player would want to make a change. Because they know more about that particular section, let's say, in their orchestra, than I do.
But don't you run up against certain performers who say, look, it's on the page, I'm going to play it the way you wrote it, leave me alone?
Oh, certainly, because that's one of our biggest problems today, is that the page has become like the Bible. If you change a dot, you're going against the authority of this master composer. And it dehumanizes it tremendously. The best players are the ones who go beyond the page.
Towers says that also applies to conductors, including Leonard Slatkin. He consulted with Tower extensively before conducting Sequoia this fall with the St. Louis Symphony and the National Symphony Orchestra.
The first impression is you do what is there. And then as you begin to understand what the piece is, you begin to hear it in your mind's ear, you begin to say, well, maybe this little part here should be adjusted too loud in the brass to be able to have the strings come through. Maybe another place needs to be articulated a little bit differently. You begin to make alterations as you go along.
Did the two of you talk and have arguments?
We haven't had any arguments about it anymore. We did the first time around a little bit. It was just what you were talking about. The first time is very much, well, this is what you wrote, why don't you want it to sound that way kind of discussions. Now that we know each other, and we really had never met before I first did the work earlier this season, now that we know each other, it's much easier to work.
You know, the wonderful thing about about hearing this kind of piece in so many different environments is that it starts to be take on a personality within different environments. In one program it's next to Goldmark, in another program it's next to pictures at an exhibition, and it gets challenged very heavily in those environments. And to me it's wonderful to see how it stands up or doesn't. That's a very good reason for letting a new piece live.
And what happens if it doesn't stand up?
Well, then it doesn't live. It dies a natural death, but it has to be given that chance.
June Tower, now 46, says she views herself as a composer first and then deals with the issue of being a woman composer. She laments the lack of role models for women in the field of composing and has been active in increasing the communication and professional support among women composers. Tower also spends considerable time lobbying American orchestras to perform more works by living composers, male and female. She believes that such works allow audiences to use their skills of criticism and evaluation, skills not often used when listening to a composer such as Beethoven.
Our attitude towards him is in the deep freeze because he's so perfect and he's so much of a genius that we tend to distance him, and that's exactly the composer we should not do that with. Actually, people's attitudes towards me are healthier. I'll tell you why. They evaluate me. They sit there and they say, now, do I like this piece? Do I not like this piece? And that makes them creative.
Composer Joan Tower. Her work, Sequoia, will be performed this evening by the National Symphony Orchestra and later this week by the Minnesota Orchestra. In Washington, I'm Nancy Fuchsin.